words he and the words child. In the original text, they were not capitalized, and they shouldn't be capitalized in your Bible either. If there was ever a time to write in your Bible, this would be a good time and get rid of those capitals. Verses 15 and 16, the pronouns are back in the singular because God is talking to Ahaz. And notice what he says. Curds and honey he shall eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that you dread will be forsaken by both their kings. Which child was he talking about? Remember back in verse 3, God told Isaiah to go visit the king and to take his son, Shear Yashub, that young boy who was a year old. Within 2 years of this prophecy being given, before that boy was old enough to make moral choices, to know right from wrong, both these kingdoms, Syria and Israel, were overthrown and their kings were history. And in verses 17 through 25, God warned Ahaz. And God said, Ahaz, your plan is to hire the Assyrians, but you don't want to do that. He said, you don't want to hire the Assyrians because they're going to keep moving south. They're going to conquer Syria. They're going to conquer Israel. But they're going to keep moving south, and they're going to conquer you, and you're going to end up under Assyrian domination. A fascinating thing took place 20 years later. Ahaz's son, Hezekiah, rebelled against the Assyrians despite the advice of Isaiah, and he met the Assyrian army at this very same spot. Ahaz failed to unwrap the blessing of God in his life, and he left a mess that his son, Hezekiah, had to clean up 20 years later. Say, Ethan. All I wanted this morning was Joseph and Mary, maybe a wise man or two, and maybe a star in the sky, and I get Isaiah chapter 7. Christmas is all about gifts. And the greatest gift is Jesus. And Jesus wants you to experience God's blessing in your life. And when you face a crisis, the command of God comes, and you face a choice. Are you going to go God's way or your way? When our son was born 6 weeks ago, we named him Charles. Why did we name him Charles? Because my father faced a crisis in his life when he was 18 years old, and his father died of a massive heart attack. My father received the command of God and made the choice to follow Jesus. My father was the first in his family to say, we're going to embrace this child, Emmanuel, with us, God, because he offers eternal life. My family was a long line of non-alcoholics, but close to it. My dad would tell stories of every Saturday night his parents would buy a case of beer and they'd start drinking and they'd end up in a big fight and he'd be under the bed listening to them screaming. My father made the decision not to drink alcohol. He tells stories about Great Uncle Tommy, drunk at the kitchen table, takes the butcher knife, slams it into the table, and slices his hand. You see, the Bible says the sins of the parents are passed down to the third and fourth generation. That's a fancy way of saying, if you're a good parent, you're going to impact three and four generations. If you're a lousy parent, you're going to impact three and four, your great-grandchildren and great-great-grandchildren. Ahaz had every opportunity in the world and failed to unwrap the blessing of God, and the result was a disaster in the life of Judah. The decisions that you make will impact generations down the road. You have to unwrap the blessing of God in your life. Go to Matthew chapter 1. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, we're introduced to a young man named Joseph. And this young man, Joseph, was a normal person, 23, 25 years old. He was a carpenter. In ancient Israel, they didn't really work with wood. They worked more with stone, carpenter, stonemason, stone cutter. He lived at the level of poverty. And in Matthew 1, verse 18, Joseph faced a crisis. Matthew 1, verse 18, it says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, He was found a child of the Holy Spirit. A Jewish wedding consisted of three stages. The first stage was the betrothal period. It was a legally binding contract. It lasted for 9 to 18 months. It was basically designed to test the fidelity of the bride to make certain she wasn't pregnant. They're in this legally binding contract, the engagement period, and Mary ends up pregnant. It was a crisis for Joseph. And in verse 19, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. The penalty for adultery under the Mosaic law was stoning, death. The Mosaic law took a very high view of marriage and family. But Joseph, being kind, being gentle, being righteous, being a generous person, decided to just end the marriage quietly. Joseph faced a crisis. And in verse 20, the command of God came to him. The word of God came to Joseph. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son. You will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. God said, Joseph, I'm offering you the greatest opportunity of a lifetime. In the midst of your crisis, my command has come, and I'm offering you the opportunity to lead the family in which the Messiah will live. It's your choice, Joseph. The train is leaving the station. You can get on the train, experience the blessing of God, or you can choose to stay off the train and miss the blessing of God. And what did Joseph do? Despite the shame, he jumped on that train. Joseph took the rap for getting Mary pregnant. And Joseph made the right choice. In verse 24, then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel commanded him, took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Joseph is one of the unsung heroes of the New Testament. Joseph was a tremendous father. He raised Jesus, and Jesus was perfect. That's what I call good parenting. But you say, Jesus was God. We could have raised Jesus, and he would have been perfect. We know that Joseph and Mary had at least four other sons and at least two other daughters. One of their sons was named James. James grew up, eventually got saved, he became an apostle, and he wrote the book of James in the New Testament. They had another son named Judas. Judas eventually changed his name because he didn't want to be confused with Judas Iscariot, and he wrote the next to last book in the New Testament, the book of Jude. Jesus, James, and Jude, all raised in the same family because Joseph got on the train and experienced the blessing of God. Take the Bible and go to Isaiah 55. In Isaiah 55, verse 8, we come to very familiar verses, the verses that we misinterpret all the time. In Isaiah 55, verse 8, God begins by making a statement, and in verse 9, he gives an example. In Isaiah 55, verse 8, God says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. That's the statement. The example is, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God's thoughts and God's ways are so much higher than us. God does things on a different level. If I would have been God, I wouldn't have had the Messiah born in Bethlehem. I would have had the Messiah born in Jerusalem. But God's thoughts and God's ways are not my thoughts or my ways. If I was God, I wouldn't have had the Messiah born into an obscure family living at the level of poverty. I would have had the Messiah born into a royal family, a noble family, a wealthy family. And I would have placed the Messiah not in a feed trough, in a lower middle class home, in an area used for animals. I would have placed the Messiah on a glorious bed covered with purple, surrounded by pillows, waited on by eager attendants. If I was God, and I came to Abraham and said, Abraham, I'm going to bless you and make you the father of many nations, I wouldn't have made Abraham wait 25 years to produce one child, and I thought we were slow. If I was God, and I appeared to Joseph and said, Joseph, you're going to be a great leader. Many people will bow in front of you. I wouldn't have had Joseph be a prisoner or a slave for 13 years. If I was God and I wanted somebody to free my people from almost 4.5 centuries of slavery, I wouldn't choose a man on the backside of the desert who'd been watching his father-in-law's sheep for 40 years. But as the heavens are high above the earth, so God's thoughts and God's ways are higher than our ways. That's why God operates out of a crisis. Our son Daniel is in kindergarten, and he's very proud of the fact that he can count to 100 by 10. He'll often walk up to people and go, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 60, 90, 100. I just counted to 100 by 10. And he wants you to say, you're a genius. Us trying to understand God's ways and God's thoughts is equivalent to Daniel trying to understand calculus, and the analogy breaks down because God is infinite. But then notice in verse 10, this time, God gives an example, and then he follows it with a statement. And we always misinterpret these verses. Normally, verses 10 and 11 are interpreted this way. You come to a Bible study. The Bible study is dark, dank, dismal, disappointing, boring. You're driving home, and you say to your wife, I didn't get anything out of that. And your wife, being a kind, gracious person, says, well, you know what the Bible says? My word won't return to me void. It'll accomplish my purpose. There's truth to that. But that's not what verses 10 and 11 are teaching. Notice the example in verse 10. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It won't return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. The example is the precipitation. Whether it's rain or snow, that precipitation is powerful. It makes the seed to grow. It produces bread. It accomplishes its purpose. And the Word of God is the same way. God's plan, God's program, God's train is moving on out, and you can get on it and enjoy the blessing of God, or you can miss the train and forfeit the blessing of God. God said, Ahaz, I want to bless you. And here's a gift. If you respond in this crisis to my command, you will experience my blessing. The train is moving. You can jump on it or you can miss the train. It's your choice. God came to Joseph and said, Joseph, there's a crisis. Mary's pregnant. I have it under control. You can get on the train, enjoy my blessing, or you can miss my blessing. It's your choice. Some of you are facing a crisis right now. You're in your late 20s and you're still not married. That's a crisis and you're starting to panic, and the command of God and the Word of God is very, very clear, and the question for you is, what choice are you going to make? Are you going to unwrap the blessing of God in your life, or are you going to miss the train and forfeit the blessing? Don't be like Ahaz. Ahaz left a 20-year legacy of defeat and disappointment. Joseph unwrapped the blessing of God, and he enjoyed the blessing. Jesus, James, Jude all flowed out of Joseph's life. Some of you are facing a financial crisis. Some of you are facing a spiritual crisis. You've heard about this baby, but the thought of being like the wise men and bowing before this baby and saying, my salvation is found in Jesus, you're not sure about that. The train is leaving. You can jump on the train, or you can miss the train. I'm going to ask my assistant to come forward. Wyatt, I want to thank you for joining me. Always excited to be on you. Thank you very much. Appreciate you. Wyatt, sometimes it gets lonely up here, so I appreciate you joining me. I have a mission for you. I'm going to hand you this gift. I want you to unwrap this gift as quickly as possible. Hold it over your head, clutch it to your chest, and run back to your seat as fast as you can. Okay? Unwrap the gift fast. Hold it up. Can you do that?
Yeah.
Go for it. That you will come to the blessing of God, you'll unwrap it, you'll make it your own, and you'll experience that in your life. Father, we're thankful. Lord, we are so thankful for your blessing that's available to us because of Jesus. Lord, whether it's eternal life, forgiveness of sins, a relationship with you, whether it's guidance, whether it's food to meet our deepest needs, it's all in Jesus. Lord, when we face the crisis, may we remember your command, and may we respond with the right choice by going your way and experiencing your blessing. In Jesus' name.
We've experienced many gifts from God, the greatest of salvation of Jesus Christ. Other gifts we've experienced is good family, times to be together, and good friends. It's sad for me to say that two of our best friends in this church family are leaving. John and Tana Parker have been called by the Lord to Oregon. They're leaving in 3 or 4 days. They've blessed this church many ways with their music and their talents, their ability to work around here, and their gratefulness. I'm very proud to know them, and we will miss them greatly. And we wish them a very safe trip to Oregon, and we hope God, and we know God, will bless them in whatever endeavor He puts them in. Please stand with me as we sing number 145, O Come All Ye Faithful.
O come all ye faithful, joyful and joyous. O come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold Him born, the King of angels. O come, let us
afterwards. Lee and Trish are friendly most of the time, and we'll have a great time talking with them. Secondly, I came here Thursday night and I saw the practice for our Christmas program tonight at 6:30. This is one of the best I've ever seen at our church, and that's saying a lot. Tonight, you'll want to be here, 6:30, bring a friend. Lord, thank you that your blessing is available because Jesus became a baby. Lord, thank you that Jesus didn't stay a baby, but he grew up and died on the cross. Lord, he didn't stay on the cross, but he was buried and he rose again, and today he's at the right hand of God the Father. Lord, every one of us are destined to meet you. May we meet him as our Savior and our friend, because we receive the gift of eternal life.